You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Aides to President Biden say he won't agree to spending cuts in exchange for a debt ceiling increase. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
As the national debt hits its statutory cap this week, the Treasury Secretary says extraordinary workarounds should stave off default until late spring. Congressional Republicans say they'll demand spending cuts before agreeing to a debt ceiling increase. Here at the White House, that's a non-starter.
We're just not going to negotiate about that.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says there should be no conditions attached. A first-ever U.S. default could run global bond and stock markets off a cliff. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
Former Republican candidate Solomon Pena, who refused to admit he lost an election for a New Mexico State House seat in a landslide, makes his first court appearance on charges that he hired men to shoot at Democratic lawmakers' homes. His public defender asks,
"We do not have any challenges to probable cause based on the face of the complaint. We would ask the court to address conditions of release."
Pena will remain behind bars until a February 1st hearing. West Virginia settles a lawsuit against a major drugstore chain for its role in the state's opioid crisis. Patrick Morrissey is the state's attorney general.
Today we're announcing that the state of West Virginia is settling for $83 million for its claims against Walgreens.
West Virginia has the overdose deaths per capita in the country. CBS News has learned that the Biden administration is set to announce tomorrow a pilot program that will allow groups of private American citizens to financially sponsor the resettlement of refugees fleeing war in violence across the country. New Zealand's prime minister says she does not have the energy to continue as leader. Scott Maiman reports.
She's been well received by New Zealanders, but Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says it's time to step down.
I've lived to the best of my ability in this job.
She spent Christmas to think about her future, and she says enough is enough.
Will there have been things I'd have done differently? Absolutely.
Her resignation comes into effect on February 7. The New Zealand general election is due in October. Scott Maiman for CBS News, Canberra, Australia.
Warming temperatures are happening somewhere where it's usually really cold. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Temperatures on Greenland have not been this warm in at least 1,000 years. Scientists found that between 2001 and 2011, it was on average 2.7 degrees warmer than it was during the 20th century. Until now, the country's ice cores had not shown much signs of global warming, but now there's a rise in its ice sheet and glaciers melting faster. Past data also showed Greenland not warming as fast as the rest of the Arctic, which is now warming four times faster than the global average, but scientists now say the island is catching up.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State Senate Democrats have had it with a controversial member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
I am angry. I am irritated. And I am frustrated.
That's Milwaukee's LaTanya Johnson. She's part of a new push to get Republican Robert Spindell off the panel that oversees elections in Wisconsin. He was a fake Trump elector and recently praised GOP efforts to suppress black and Hispanic voter turnout in Milwaukee. No word yet on what Spindell or Republican leaders might do. There are no more full-time prosecutors working in the Dodge County District Attorney's Office. Former DA Kirk Klomberg just quit to protest the office's staffing shortage. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night. Wisconsin edged Penn State. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal,
only politics.
Relative to population, I believe Waukesha County is running like twice the mortality rate of Dane County.
Right. Well, and then you and your wife braved Mayville to see the band or the play.
But man, I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. I'm feeling pretty good about life. Well, I don't know about good shape, but I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted.
Yeah. Did you have a couple glasses of wine up there?
No wine. Lots of rum. Rum tum tum.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK.
For you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So since the election's been over, you haven't really heard Republicans talking too much about inflation. A little bit. There's a little, especially since it's coming down. In fact, the most recent report said that the U.S. wholesale prices sank 0.5% in December, mostly due to food prices coming down and fuel prices coming down. You know, something that the Biden administration did. And again, I keep coming back to what I said from the beginning. Big, giant 15-foot cardboard cutouts of that idiot sticker they were slapping on the gas pump saying Biden did this. I think you got to reclaim that. So when the prices come down, yeah, Biden did that. And part of it is this Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to help reduce inflation, but help us invest in the future. And here to share some thoughts on just how this is going to help and what's going to happen over the next couple of years as it continues to roll out, I've asked Shannon Baker Brandstetter to come talk with us. She's the director of the Domestic Climate and Energy Policy over at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, their website. Shannon, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Great to be here.
So all the numbers look like we're heading in a reasonable direction. I'm not overly excited yet, but it seems like we may have turned the corner. We're going in the right direction. I think the policies that this administration have moved on are a big part of that.
Absolutely. I'm still concerned about housing costs. I think that those are still painful for people. And that is one thing that the Inflation Reduction Act does really well in providing rebates and tax credits to help people lower their energy bills and be more comfortable in their homes. And that can help both tenants as well as homeowners. So definitely good news that we have some electric and utility bill relief coming through a lot of these programs.
So walk me through some of this stuff, because look, I'm a big fan of, we've got solar panels on our house. I'd love to do more projects to get us off the grid, just economic part of it, but also, dependency part, decentralize our power and all this stuff. Tell me, where are we moving?
Yeah, so renewable energy and battery storage, both of those prices are coming down in the market. And the discounts and rebates and tax credits that are funded by the Inflation Reduction Act will help those costs come down even further. There also are incentives for community solar, other solar projects to be put in low-income or disadvantaged communities. There are plus-ups for the credits when developers place them in communities that really need them the most. And there are also provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act that provide a bonus for employers and companies who pay prevailing wage and offer apprenticeships. So it really is part of building a clean energy economy that has good jobs, and it will increase those opportunities for folks.
Yeah, for me, this is where my biggest defense of Joe Biden is. For the last 40 plus years, we've been on this neoliberal path of opening up our borders and allowing, you know, foreign countries to dump their products in here. This, for me, is taking that campaign rhetoric of, you know, American manufacturing and buy American and domestic production for domestic consumption, and actually putting it into policy to where we're gonna create jobs here, we're gonna make the things that we need, and we're gonna invest at home, and then we can trade abroad with what we get. But this is policy making sure that we break 40 years of what I think is insanity, and move in a better direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Both the CHIPS bill and the Inflation Reduction Act have real investments in domestic manufacturing. The new electric vehicle tax credit, for to get the full thing, you have to have a vehicle that was assembled domestically. So there really are a lot of provisions that move toward the goal of climate justice and jobs, not just one of those.
Now you went and you did it. You've got all the conservatives crazy because you said climate justice. Next, you're going to say Green Deal or something.
Well, there are three separate things, right? It's climate and justice and jobs. So, yes, you can see it as climate justice. That's important, too. But the justice component really is making sure that investments don't just flow where they historically have, but that they also flow where they historically have not. And so I think that the equity part of it and President Biden's commitment to the Justice 40 framework that he committed to is just really important. The Justice 40 framework requires that 40% of clean energy and climate investments benefit low-income and disadvantaged communities. And that's really historic. That hasn't been done before. A lot of programs, they may benefit contractors who have gotten contracts before, or benefit middle or upper class communities who can take advantage of tax credits. And this program really, a lot of these programs go above and beyond that and make an extra effort to be more inclusive and to really try to change and decrease the racial wealth gap that we have in this country as well.
No, I mean, the reality of this is, and the part that I find really important, is that prevailing wages are in this to make sure that those jobs that are being created are good jobs that support families and support communities. And the commitment to that by this administration, I think it can't be overstated.
I agree with you. I think that Joe Biden's commitment to both unions, to workers, as well as to environmental justice communities is really historic. And we're really looking forward to a lot of these programs being in place and people really feeling the benefits of these investments in their transportation system, in their homes, in the vehicles they drive. And it's going to, as we said, create a lot of good jobs as well. It's really exciting.
So let me ask you this, because I've seen this number being thrown around that, in this year, the average family of four could potentially save up to $23,000 because of this. How does that work? Explain how the average family would save that kind of money.
Right. So that would mean that the family had invested in solar panels, in an electric vehicle, as well as electric appliances and insulating their home. That would be taking advantage of all of the tax credits that are available at once. And so some folks may not do that all at once. They may, upgrade their vehicle. They may add some windows and insulation. They may upgrade to an electric heat pump. They may get solar panels, but maybe not all at once. People who do that all at once, yes, they would see that savings off of their investments. But I think the number that I keep coming back to is the annual energy savings, what people will be saving on their bills. As people make these investments to go electric, to be more energy efficient, they can save up to $2,000 a year on energy and transportation bills. And that's a lot of money, which is terrific.
No, I'm excited about the rollout coming over the next couple of years, because I don't think people really understand yet, because they haven't seen it. We haven't, and like I said, I think I want those big 15-foot, maybe 20-foot cardboard cutouts of saying, I did this. When there's a new manufacturing plant that comes in, I did this. And when we're investing in the kind of solar projects and the things that are going to help us get off of our dependency on foreign oil or oil as a whole, I think you got to do a better job of touting that, don't you?
I do. I think, like you said, as people feel the benefits, there will be something more to point to. A lot of these programs are brand new. It takes a little bit of time to roll them out. But the tax credits are available now for the home appliances and for windows and insulation. And there's also money for training of contractors, training of workers. And so I think in the next year, more people will start to feel those benefits. But yeah, it does take a little while to connect all the dots outside of DC, where people are following everything super closely.
So let me ask you, just between you and me, seriously, because I know the stove troopers are being deployed as we speak to come and steal all the gas stoves. Is this just a backdoor way of getting our gas stoves by replacing them with tax credits for electric ones?
So it certainly helps people who choose to do so. You can, especially for low income households, later this year, they should be able to get up to $840 off of an electric stove. And even though the government is not making you get rid of your gas stove, there are really good reasons to go electric. And that is mainly for health reasons in your home. For kids, if they're elderly people, it is really important to decrease indoor air pollution. A recent study showed that 1 in 8 of childhood asthma cases could be attributed to having a gas stove in the home. And that's because they leak methane even when they're not on. And there's lots of particulate matter that comes from them. So while there are climate benefits from going electric, I'd say in the case of the gas stove, it's not a matter of the government forcing anyone to do it. But it certainly is helpful that for people who want to, it's a lot cheaper to do that and to live in a healthier home.
So let me ask you on this, because you know, you talked about electric heat pumps, you talked about the EVs, you talked about how do people go about getting this? I mean, I get this a lot because, look, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to get a heat pump in my daughter's house. How do you go about getting this? How do you go about, is this something the contractors do, something you have to apply for, you have to jump through hoops? You know, what do you have to do?
Yeah, so a lot of that, I think, does come to contractor awareness, because if you're doing any kind of serious renovation, you're probably going with a contractor rather than doing it yourself. If you're doing it yourself, it's really a matter of making the purchase and then filing for the tax credit, if that's the route you're going. But a lot of times you'll want to go through a qualified contractor, and state energy offices, you typically have a list of qualified contractors to go through. And then they provide the paperwork certifying that the appliance is new and meets the requirements. And then if it's a tax credit, people will just file for it, you know, the following year. If it's a rebate, which are going to be rolling out later this year throughout the states, then that will be an upfront rebate where people won't even have to pay for it. But I'd say the best source of information right now is cleanenergy.gov and people's state energy offices.
Cleanenergy.gov. We'll get links out on social media how folks can take a look at that. Now, you know, the other part of this is, you know, outside of this, the narrow self-interest of, hey, I'm going to save a couple of bucks, how much is this going to help with the environmental problems? I mean, is this a big deal? Is this just moving the needle a little bit, or is this negligible? Where do you, as the expert here, where do you put what we're doing on that path?
So it's the Inflation Reduction Act is definitely historic in terms of climate impact. You say I'm the expert, but I rely on the real expert, the scientific experts here, and the modeling experts that show that with the Inflation Reduction Act, we're on track to decrease carbon pollution by 40% by 2030, and we need to get to 50% to be on track to reach our climate goals and commitments. But that's a really great start. So it is a historic investment, and it will make a difference. It will change markets and make it a lot cheaper for people to access renewable energy, energy efficiency, and electric homes.
It sounds great. I mean, we're going to save the planet. We're going to create good jobs. We're going to bring back domestic production for domestic consumption.
Who knew? What were we waiting for?
Gee, it's amazing what good policy can do.
Sure is.
But Shannon, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some information on this. Where do we go for more information? You said
cleanenergy.gov is a good source. And then state energy offices will be rolling out some of these programs as well. And a lot of them can go hand in hand with programs that people are already familiar with, like weatherization programs and other renewable energy options. So yeah, cleanenergy.gov.
All right, good stuff. Shannon, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Shannon Baker Brandstetter, Director of Domestic Climate and Energy Policy there at the Center for American Progress. Make sure you check out their website, americanprogress.org. We'll get links out how you can do that. Going to take a quick break. Back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Wow, the Arkansas folks are up in arms today. Don't hate Arkansas. Love the people of Arkansas. The folks that I've met there have been great. It's the policies. Again, it's the southern states. My favorite rib place is in Birmingham, Alabama. Love the people. It's the policies. It's the policies your politicians keep moving on. This is my problem. These are the people who tell us that they want to destroy government. I got a problem with that. The people who do the things that they keep doing, like obstructing people from voting, literally taking food out of the mouths of children to give to the very well-to-do. I got a problem with that. The idea of not teaching actual history. Got a problem with that. Simple. I got an email during the break saying, I guess they teach students about the Civil War, how the Civil War was fought. Republicans wanted to free the slaves. And oddly, the Democrats wanted to keep slavery. To keep their slaves, Democrats formed the Ku Klux Klan and had a member in Congress. Yeah, a Byrd from West Virginia, which he then renounced and a whole bunch of stuff. Do they teach that to students? I hope so. I think they should. I think they should teach. I think critical thinking is really important. Clearly, the person who sent this email, not a critical thinker, not understanding that the Republican Party of the 1850s, not the Republican Party of the 2020s. Very different. Very different ideologies, very different views on how to deal with things. Abe Lincoln would not be recognizable in today's Republican Party. Ronald Reagan wouldn't be recognizable in the Republican Party today. The sad reality is I want people to question this stuff. But we're not allowed to. Democrats at the time were horrible. Absolutely. Different party, different people. You can have things that change. I'm struggling with this argument, though, that, well, you know, the Democrats back then, when we have the white supremacists who attempted to overthrow our government under the flag of a Republican president who aimed them in that direction. This is my struggle. We can't have actual conversations about the past, about history. You know, a guy brought up is the theory about race that's critical. I don't want them teaching no CRT. No, you don't want them to teach actual history? Look, I've been through Alabama. I've been through Georgia. I've been through Mississippi. I've been through Arkansas. All of these places, and this is the remarkable thing for me. We did a civil rights tour back in 2015 where we went to all the places where they treated black people horribly. And now they've got museums. Now they've got institutes. Now they've got tourist traps. Going, look how bad we were. come, give us your money. But don't learn the actual history. There's a cute little restaurant on the corner, you know, where the fire hoses, you know, knocked all the people into the streets, and the dogs were biting the students. Don't worry about that. I want them to learn actual history. And that's what we did with our kids. When we went on this tour, it was about learning actual history. You know, my daughter, and I've told this before, my daughter came home from school, and one of those conversations, hey, what'd you learn today? Oh, we learned about Rosa Parks. Oh, yeah, what'd you learn? Oh, she was tired. No, it was much, much more than that. So we set out on this track to see actual history, and we went to places where horrible things happened, and we had conversations with people. Now, look, as a white guy, I didn't do it. I have no guilt in this. It wasn't me. But by learning it, and this is where I think the important part is, by learning what actually happened, maybe we commit to not letting it happen again. It's on every front. No matter what movement we're talking about, what group we're talking about. The sad reality is, and this is where I'm struggling with my Republican friends, they have these talking points that don't seem to fit. You know, I hear all the time, we want lower taxes, small government, less intrusive government. And yet they continually raise taxes on working people while giving tax breaks to the very wealthy and are constantly in people's lives, using big government tactics to strong arm people. Look, I may not agree with everything everyone does. I may not agree with your religion. I may not agree with your orientation or your choices, but I don't have to. And we as people don't have to always agree. Within the confines of your four walls, you get to do whatever you want. That's the great thing about this country. And we used to believe that. You know, one of the things my grandfather always said, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. Worry about what you're doing. Problem is, we got too many people worried about what everybody else is doing. And all under the guise of we're going to save the children. With all the legislation that's out there right now, there's tons of it, on the trans issue, tons of it. How many pieces of legislation are out there to feed children? How many pieces of legislation have been put out there by my Republican friends to help homeless veterans? How many pieces of legislation are out there to do positive things? And this is where my struggle is. And why I look to these states like Arkansas. And the reason Arkansas came up, for those who need to know, is one in Fort Smith, Arkansas, a jail locked a guy up for a year and literally starved him to death. A 6'2", 200-pound man, a year later was 90 pounds on an autopsy table. That is disgraceful. And that's not just because, oh, well, you know, we didn't have the right safeguards in place. We didn't have the right. No, this is inhumanity. Because every day someone checked on that man in solitary confinement and watched him wither away to nothing. Now, it's not an indictment of the entire state, but it is an indictment of the political process there. And the people and the people who keep telling me how religious they are and how pious they are, doing some of the most extreme, outrageous stuff that, you know, I go back to what Gandhi said, you know, your Christ I like, your Christians not so much. This is one of those moments. And I'm still angry about that story. I mean, it's one of those things that in this country, in this day and age, you would think we're better than that. But yet we've got people, well, we can't learn about that theory on race. And, oh, it was the Democrats. No, I don't care who was in power at the time. It was wrong. It was wrong. We need to do better. We need to be better. We need to be better human beings. We need to be better to each other, more humane. But until we can figure out how to, you know, talk to each other in a way that, well, they're not shooting up your home, I don't know where we're heading. But I'd love to hear your thoughts, and thank you for the email and reminding me that it was the Democrats who formed the Ku Klux Klan. I knew that already, but thank you. I hope someone else learned that, and that the Southern Democrats that formed the Ku Klux Klan are currently today's Republican Party. I hope you learn that as well. The Nixon Southern strategy, all that stuff around the civil rights era, kind of a turning point a little bit. You might want to, again, it's the history that's kind of important. But thanks. I appreciate it. And I do. I hope people learn that. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. I'll take a quick break. Right back.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. As the country prepares to hit its debt ceiling tomorrow, the White House calls on Congress to act to raise it. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
It is essential for Congress to recognize that dealing with the debt ceiling is their constitutional responsibility. This is an easy one. This is something that should be happening without conditions.
A former New Mexico Republican political candidate who refused to accept he lost an election for a state house seat is being held without bond. Solomon Pena is accused of hiring men to shoot into the homes of Democratic rivals. CBS's Danya Backus reports.
Investigators say Pena personally took part in at least one of the shootings, but that his gun jammed.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is stepping down as the country's leader and will not run for re-election.
I know what this job takes. And I know that I no longer have enough in the tank to do it justice. It's that simple.
Ardern says she will resign as prime minister no later than February 7th. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair with your headlines. The Wisconsin primary for the state Supreme Court is February 21st, and one candidate so far is outraising her rivals. WisPolitics.com reports Judge Janet Protasiewicz pulled in over $750,000 in the full six-month period ending December 31st. That's more than her three rivals, liberal Dane County Circuit Court Judge Everett Mitchell, and conservative challengers, former Justice Dan Kelly and Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Jennifer Doro. Protasiewicz and Mitchell, the only ones who were actively fundraising for the full 6 months. Doro's fundraising all happened in December. Kelly launched his bid to rejoin the court in September. In Washington, newly selected House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tapping Wisconsin's Brian Stile to chair the House Administration Committee. Republican Stile represents Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Methods, rain gardens, and rewilding your yard with things like prairie grass. For help, go to rewild.org.
back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the things I love about Las Vegas, always something interesting. Found out something this week that I did not know. Evidently, there's a trade show called the World of Concrete. And my mind goes into these weird WWE kind of, you know, explosive shows of concrete. And because, you know, it's concrete. I mean, how do you make concrete exciting? But, you know, look, this event's been going on now, I guess, for 49 years. They've got 60,000 industry professional groups from around the world coming together to talk about how we make, well, the world a little bit more concrete. And here to share some thoughts on what's going on in Vegas with this event and why they are there, I've asked Anthony DiPerna to come talk with us. Anthony is the National Director of Apprenticeship and Training with the International Masonry Training and Education Foundation. Their website, imtef.org. We'll get links out on social media. Anthony, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. It's nice to, always nice to catch up with you.
So the World of Concrete, I mean, I could just hear the big booming voice, the explosions, the World of Concrete, Anthony.
Well, you would think there'd be a lot of pouring concrete out there, but there really isn't. It's all about the latest technology, innovations. They do pour some concrete and show some of the new finishing tools. They have old concrete there, and they show some of the new cutting materials they have. Obviously, with the silica standard, they've come a long way in dust control. So there's a big area of dust control equipment. But I'm really there for outside for the apprentice contest, the block contest, and the fastest trowel, or they call it the best bricklayer, but we call it the fastest trowel. In about an hour, they usually average about 800 brick.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
That is moving. But I want to talk about the events first. I mean, because there's you hit on some technology stuff. One of the things that I'm told you union guys are supposed to be against is new technology, because we're stuck in the old ways. I'm told you're supposed to be Luddites. What's going on there?
Well, so there's been a lot of innovation. So obviously robotics has come into our construction world. So right now, the mule is one of our big operating equipment that it's an assist. Lift and assist piece of equipment so that we can lift up heavier material, no strain on our back, lower workman's comp for our contractors, because less people will get hurt with the weight limit. And the other thing is eco-stellical, right? They have now equipment that like a jet pack that we're working with right now, that hopefully you put it on like a suit, like a backpack, and it actually helps you lift, and especially overhead. So it gives your arms a little relief, so you're not straining your shoulders and your neck. So that's new technology that's coming out, and we're evolving. And you know, we have to be. If you're not at the table, you're the part of the meal, right? So you got to stay there.
No kidding. You know, I was at the AFL convention last year, I believe it was in Philadelphia, and I saw the mule, and I'm going, you know, maybe if they'd have had this back when I was younger, maybe I'd have been a bricklayer. Because you wouldn't have to lift these 70-pound bricks all day long. You got this great tool that helps you move them around.
Yeah, a lot of our retirees look at it and they wish they were still around. They might have got a couple extra years in the field working out, because they love the brotherhood and the sisterhood you get out in the field. When you retire, you miss that bond with all your coworkers for sure. We embrace technology, Rick. We don't shy away from it. We look at it, we use it, we test it in our training centers. And if it's something worthwhile to our members and our contractors, we'll endorse it.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, the building trades has the best training, hands down, of any industry in this country. They train more workers than anybody, and they do it in a way that doesn't saddle people with a lifetime of debt. Actually, you get paid while you learn. Let's talk about some of that training, because, you know, you said that you've got this big competition that you're down at this thing for. Not obviously these are the folks at the very top of the game, but across this country, we need more skilled workers. We need more people who can build stuff. And it's this training that you guys do that I think is so important.
Yeah. You know, we invest a lot of money. Our members put in a lot of money for training. So any apprentice or pre-apprentice, there's no out-of-pocket money. We train them. They earn while they learn. And we keep them up to date with not only the best safety conditions, but also skill level and schooling. And if they need higher education, they can go on higher education with us. We have free online college for them with through Sailor Academy. So they don't have to just become a part of the trades. They can always they can grow and get a higher education with us, and it costs them zero. It costs them, you know, that's the beauty of it. And we're really proud of that fact. And I just left the World of Concrete to come with you. And I will have you know that we took 7 of 9 places in the apprentice contest. So we had 25 apprentices compete out of 45, and we took 7 of the 9 first through third places today.
Wow, good for you, and good for your members. I mean, it does show that the training, that continual education and all that does pay off, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we have 69 training centers throughout the United States and Canada, and they're all we have a standard curriculum. So whether you're learning how to a trade in California or in New York or in Boston, you're learning the same curriculum. So we're travelers too. So you can go from anywhere in the country and go to work. If there's no work in your area, you can go to another part of the country and pick up and do the same trade somewhere else.
Now, the thing is, you know, I've had conversations with people like, well, you know, just picking up bricks and putting them down. There's nothing to that. It's a highly skilled trade. I mean, the reality is there's a lot weighing on what you guys, the foundation that you guys put down. So what you have to understand, you have to know all of the ins and outs. You've got to have the kind of foundation that your apprenticeship program gives your apprentices.
Yeah, and not only, absolutely. And we've even gone into the 3D world. We did a brick trowel in the World of Concrete, me and my team, and it's protruding brick on an angle. And if you stand back with 3 different color brick, it looks like a brick trowel on the wall, on the brick wall. It's all made out of brick.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty incredible what we can do with brick, as long as you put your head to it.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Anthony DiPerna. He's the National Director of Apprenticeship and Training with the International Masonry Training and Education Foundation. Their website, imtef.org. We'll get links out on social media. How you can take a look at that. And, you know, if people wanted to get involved in this, because look, you know, I'll tell you, they had that mule thing. The idea of lifting those heavy bricks all day long did not appeal to me. But the new technology, the new toys that I see coming online, I don't know. Maybe it's something that I'd be interested in. How would someone get involved in this? If, you know, you got a kid that goes, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, how do we get them involved?
So they can reach out. They can go on to MTEF or imi.org or bac.web. Any of our associations, if they just even Google International Bricklayers Union, will pop up. And they can if they go into that email chat and just throw out an email, we respond to emails every day of people looking to come into the trade or at least get more information.
Right.
And, you know, we can put them in touch with their local reps in the area or the local union where they are. Like I said, it doesn't matter where you are from Hawaii to Puerto Rico to up through Canada. If they reach out to us, we'll make sure they get in touch with the local people to actually try to get them more information, because you can't force anybody to do anything, but if you give them the right information, most of them will make the right choice and join our rank and file.
Yeah,
now
and,
you know, we're all about benefits too, right? You know, healthcare, you know, a pension, you know, safe, clean working conditions, and you know, it's proven that if you look at the national average, we are the safest job sites. Union job sites are the safest job sites in the country.
Now, and this is where I was going to go next, because I have some listeners who say, well, you always promote those union apprenticeship programs. You know, the contractors, they've got apprenticeship programs. The ABC folks, they've got apprenticeship programs. And they go, yeah, maybe not so much. Because my experience is most people don't end up finishing them, and they're nowhere near the quality that we see in our building trade unions.
No, a lot of the ABC programs are multi-trade. They might have a kid work as a bricklayer for 2 weeks in training and then go out there and give them to a contractor, and he just can't perform. He's nothing but just a glorified laborer. I came from a state where there was an ABC presence, and time and time when we went to the open competitions, they couldn't even come close to our apprentices. Safety-wise, training-wise, their skill level was lacking. All I'm going to say is that the ABC is just a sham of an apprentice program.
I agree. But here's the thing. And, you know, I hear people say, but they're cheaper. But they're cheaper, Anthony. You know, they do it. You know, it's less costly to bring those folks in. What's the argument there?
Well, the production, right? So just because you're cheaper doesn't mean you're going to get it done quicker or better or get paid for the job because of what it looks like. We demand a wage because of our quality, of our professionalism, and being able to get a job done on time. There's been many a jobs that our counterparts have been kicked off, and we have to come in and clean up the mess. It's very rare do we get kicked off a job, if ever, where the ABC, one of their contractors, have to come in. They're usually the GCs and the owners are looking at us to fix their problems at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're very competitive with them, especially in a prevailing rate state, because there's no way they can put the units in or handle the manpower like we can.
No, and this is why, again, ask anybody who's had to dig up a bunch of stuff that was done wrong and then tell them how cheap the other option is. Now, I want to go back to this world of concrete because, again, fascinating. Now, maybe you geek out a little bit on what you see there. What's the coolest thing you've seen at the world of concrete exhibits? Because I was looking at some of them and I just thought you pour concrete, you smooth it out, you do that. There's a ton of stuff here.
Yeah, so they've come up with really some new designs on how you can go into an old building and actually polish the existing concrete to make it look like a piece of marble. That's new technology. That's pretty cool. They've come out with some new lightweight cement products. They've come out with some new staining products that are really, really eco-friendly, were not harmful to anybody, especially if they get on you. Those are some of the things. And then the tools, right? You know, finishing tools, they have new cutting tools that literally they're dustless, Rick. And that excites me because dust is such a big thing. Silica sand is such a big thing with us, you know, especially in the masonry trade. The saws that have come out now, whether you use water or their new vac system, the HEPA vacs, it's really, really encouraging to see that all of the contractors and owners and suppliers are really honing in on dust-free equipment.
And the key here is again, coming back to focusing on safety, focusing on making sure that people go home at the end of the day in the same condition that they showed up at work in, and making sure that those jobs are living wage jobs with the kind of security and future that I think our generation at least, came to expect. I mean, we're heading into this brave new world of everybody being a gig worker and exploitable. So to have the kind of employment, the kind of jobs that you guys are pushing for and demanding, I think it's a smart way to move for the future, not just in the trades, but and I think every industry.
Yeah, I mean, we see more and more people are looking at benefits, right? You know, how can I get health care? You know, how can I get a pension? I mean, we're middle class America. I consider the building trades one of the stepping stones to the middle class, and we're there to help. And we've been very successful diversifying. If I can, I'll talk about our new program for all our female BAC craft workers. We have maternity leave now for all our BAC craft workers, female craft workers. That has been hitting a home run with the young women in the trades. We've already had a young lady take advantage of this program. They get paid while they're off of work on maternity leave, and that's given them the cushion they need to not only stay with us, but then come back to work after they kick in daycare. And we also partnered up with KinderCare to give them a good discount at KinderCare if they want to use that service for their babysitting.
Now, this is starting that transformation towards the future, you know, because, you know, in bringing this up, I was just looking at a report that was put out by the North American Building Trades Union organization, NABTU, I guess it is, that said, you know, right now in this country, the building trades are the most diverse it's ever been, that they are attracting minorities, they're attracting women, they're attracting people who, you know, maybe in the past were shut out of these jobs. You guys are actively seeking out folks to come and be part of the trades.
Yes, we've partnered up with everybody. If you go, whether it's some of the church groups, some of the workforce development groups, neighborhood watches, you know, we've done a great job of really diversifying as a group. And, you know, going back to the maternity leave, I mean, that's, you can't, you know, when we went to Women Build Nations and there's, you know, all the women in the trades, that is something that they've been begging for years. And we finally, the bricklayers, allied craft workers finally got there. And that really incentivizes the young women to say, yes, I can do this. And if I do get pregnant, I do get maternity leave. I do get money besides what she can get from the state or any other entity. We take care of them. We're cradle to grave. And we work with every group possible to bring in diversity into our rank and file membership.
No, because at the end of the day, here's the reality. We don't have enough skilled building trades folks to do the kind of investment and the kind of rebuilding we're going to be doing in the next several years. I've had numerous people come on the program tell me, you know, we're looking forward to it. We want to get there. But as of this moment, we don't have the numbers of people to keep up with the investments that are coming down the pipeline. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It can be in certain areas, but we're doing a great job. Like right now in Bowie, we got 24 pre-job students. And their pre-job is they'll stay for 6 to 8 weeks. They'll learn one of our crafts, whether it's brick, block, PCC, tile, terrazzo, welding. And when they go back to the home local, they've gotten 8 weeks of one-on-one training at the National Training Center. We fly them in. We put them up in our dorm. We feed them. We give them a stipend. And then we send them back home. And they're within 1 week of getting a paycheck from a contractor. They'll work the following week, get a paycheck from the contractor, and they're on their way to their new career with the BAC. And we're seeing a big uptick. We have 24 now. It's a rolling thing. By the end of the year, we could have anywhere from 60 to 70 students come through our building for like a pre-job to go back to their home local to actually go to work.
No, that is awesome. And if folks wanted to get more information on how to be part of these programs, BACweb.org is the website if you want to get into it with the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers Union. We'll get links out on social media. You know, Tony, great stuff. I hope you'll come back and share some more. Go back to enjoy the world of concrete.
And I'm gonna go celebrate with the apprentices that just took 7 of the 9 places, and that just proves our training and everything we do at the local level filters right through the apprenticeship program.
Outstanding. Good on them, and enjoy the victory. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, Anthony.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Going to take a quick break right back here. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you missed any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find yours, you'll find ours. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1943. On this day, marking the death of the first woman general organizer appointed by the American Federation of Labor, Mary Kenny O'Sullivan was born the only child of working-class Irish immigrants in Hannibal, Missouri. She worked at a printing and binding factory in Missouri, and then moved to Chicago for work in the city's binderies. She helped organize the Chicago Women's Bindery Workers Union. Mary Kenny O'Sullivan became friends with Settlement House social worker Jane Addams. The newly formed bindery union held their meetings at Addams' Hull House. O'Sullivan joined another champion for working people, Florence Kelly, on her investigation of sweatshops and slums in Chicago. O'Sullivan was one of a group of women who rose to national prominence as organizers for progressive change. Her work caught the attention of Samuel Gompers, president of the AFL. Gompers named O'Sullivan the AFL's first female organizer in 1892. In 1893, O'Sullivan was one of the main speakers, along with Florence Kelly, at a rally organized by Hull House and the Chicago Trades and Labor Assembly. 1,000 people heard her speak that day. The purpose of the rally was to demand inspections of the conditions in the city's factories. Later that year, the Illinois governor signed the State Factory Inspection Act. The next year, O'Sullivan married John O'Sullivan, the labor editor of the Boston Globe. She relocated to the East Coast, where she continued to fight for workers' rights. And thus we remember Mary Kenny O'Sullivan, who was one of the leading voices of her time for improving workplace safety in Chicago and throughout the United States. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. So look, this is one of those moments where I go, I love how the building trades operates. The fact that the bricklayers were able to get maternity leave when the rest of the country can't seem to figure it out, that's huge. I mean, it really is. And for me, it's that model. It's that model of it doesn't matter who you work for, your benefits, your pay, your working conditions, all that stuff is right there in the contract, and it's portable. Doesn't matter which contractor you work for, it's all the same. This is a model that I've been talking about for, well, a couple decades now. What we should be moving towards, especially as we're moving into this gig economy kind of world. At some point, working people have to realize that individually, well, they're exploitable. It's when they come together and they collectively say, you know what, we're going to organize. We're going to come together and we're going to withhold our labor unless we get the wages, hours, conditions that we demand. It seems pretty simple. And this is what the building trades have been doing for a very long time. Look, you know, these guys work for multiple contractors throughout the year. They have multiple employers, but it's the same contract. Same wages, same working conditions, same benefits, and it's portable. You want to work in Ohio or Pennsylvania or Illinois, you can go between them. And it's one of these kind of things that I'm hoping as a society we gravitate towards. Now the employers have said no, we'll do some of this. And the reason I brought up the ABC contractors is, you know, I have some listeners who just, you know, they the ABC contractors are so much better. No, that's just a way to funnel in cheap labor. And the sad reality is for the vast majority of people who go through those programs, they never graduate. They're just used as cheap labor. And as he pointed out, you may get a couple of days here, a couple of days there. You don't get the kind of skill that these guys have. And I know people who have had to rip up concrete because it was poured poorly. I know the expense that goes into it. And I feel for them. But it's one of those moments where you go, you know, had you hired somebody who knew what the hell they were doing, maybe you wouldn't do this. But it was cheaper. And again, we have this mentality that, you know, we got to get the cheapest instead of the most cost effective. So for me, when we do things here at the show, you know, when I do things, I try and reach out to my building trades friends. If I need concrete poured, I need something, an electrician, I reach out to the local union, say, hey, you got anybody who does this stuff? Because I want the best skilled people. I'll pay a little bit more, but I know one thing I do know, I'm not going to have a problem with it. So interesting. But I'll tell you, I didn't know there was a World of Concrete event. But evidently it's been going on for like 49 years. And I was looking at some of the displays and some of the exhibitions that they have. And, you know, look, it's more than just, you know, picking up bricks and putting them down. It's a lot of really fascinating technology that I loved hearing, you know, Anthony talk about, you know, we embrace technology. We want our people to have the latest, greatest tools. We want them to have the ability to do the job better. And look, at the end of the day, it comes back down to the more efficient you are, the more they're going to make. Again, that meritocracy thing that the right loves to tell us that they believe in, but not so much. Now, the reason I bring this up is I had a listener who told me, well, you know, workers should just get what they're given. It's that kind of just be happy you have a job mentality. You have no right to know what the businesses make. You have no right to know how much profit they make. Workers have no rights was his basic premise. Now, understand, he was a building contractor. And I would argue, and I don't know for sure, but I know he wasn't a union contractor. I would probably guess, I would fathom to guess, not one of the very unscrupulous kind. And that's kind of the weird world that we're in. The loudest voices, the ones out there screaming and hollering the most, are the ones who are doing all the stuff that's racing us to the bottom. The people like Anthony and his union, it's like they're out there doing the work. They're out there doing the work. And good on his members for taking a lot of the prizes. It's good to hear. But the World of Concrete, I want to hear your thoughts. Did you ever hear the World of Concrete? I would love to go to that, I think. I think I would. I think I would just to see what that entails. Anyway, if you missed any of today's program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find ours, from Stitcher to iTunes to Podbean and everywhere in between. We are there, and if there's a place where we're not, let us know, and we will get there. Also, make sure you email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If something I said got on your nerves, got under your skin, made you think, made you happy, made you sad, by all means, let me know. I've been getting a lot from my religious friends. Keep it coming. Again, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.